Father, as we come together, we are your children. We pray that you may help us. Help us in our life, in our walk with you. And may we know you as our Father, our close friend, and our Saviour. Amen. So in this time of Advent, many people are celebrated, especially it's Sunday in Advent. With our Advent wreath, we see people as part of the coming of Jesus Messiah. The patriarchs, the prophets, John the Baptist, and of course, Mary. But one person who is missed out, or not so much mentioned, is Joseph, who is very much a part of the Christmas narrative. Let's hear Joseph's part in the Christmas story.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Right, I think we need some background to the marriage in those days. It consisted of three parts. The engagement. Now, this was usually arranged between families by a matchmaker, or even when the two children, sorry, the people were young children. Then comes the betrothal, which lasted a year, when both parties agreed to the marriage. This was binding on both persons. They were treated as husband and wife, although they stayed apart. The betrothal could only be ended by divorce. And after a year of betrothal, they went through the formalities of the marriage service. So from our text, our passage that we've just heard, we see that Joseph and Mary were in the betrothal period. But Mary was found to be pregnant. The baby was not Joseph's. The passage states that he was faithful to the law, a righteous man. So Joseph had decided to divorce Mary in this betrothal period. It could have shamed her completely by exposing her to the authorities, which could have led to her being stoned to death for adultery. But Joseph was not a strict, overbearing person like some religious people can be. He looked to divorce Mary quietly. a divorce which would only need two witnesses to the papers. As he mulled over the situation, he was visited by an angel of the Lord in a dream and told to take Mary as his wife. The angel calls Joseph and hails him as the son of David. Before this passage, Matthew recounts the lineage for Joseph from Abraham via David. The angel explains that the baby conceived is from the Holy Spirit. Now don't forget that this Spirit of God is the same Spirit that was involved in the creation of the world. As we hear in Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The angel then tells Joseph that Mary will give birth to a son and he is to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Jehovah is salvation. Matthew goes on to say that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord said about through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. After Joseph woke, he took Mary to be his wife. Now Joseph had great influence on Jesus' life. He was to move himself and Mary many times. In Luke 2, Joseph followed the census decree made by Caesar Augustus and went with Mary from Nazareth in Galilee to Bethlehem in Judea because he belonged to the house of David. And Joseph was a righteous man and followed the law of Moses. In chapter 2, after the birth of the baby, Joseph followed the law, and so on the eighth day, the child was circumcised and named Jesus, as instructed by the angel. And Mary went through the law's requirement for purification after childbirth, and the child was taken to Jerusalem to be consecrated to the Lord, as it states that the firstborn male is to be presented to the Lord. And Joseph himself followed the immediate instructions he had from God. In Matthew chapter 2, after the wise men visited Bethlehem, Joseph was warned in a dream by an angel to take the family and flee to Egypt, away from Herod. And after Herod died, he was instructed again by the angel in a dream to go back to Israel. He was uncertain about going back to Judea, was again warned in a dream and returned to Nazareth. Now settled in Nazareth, again Joseph followed the requirements of the law. Every year he took Jesus, the family, to Jerusalem for the Passover. As it was usual in those days, Joseph taught his son Jesus the trade that he had as a carpenter. We hear in Matthew 12, when Jesus in his nomadic ministry went back to Nazareth, the people there thought they knew him too well. Isn't he the carpenter's son? Where did this man get all this wisdom and these miraculous powers? And they took offense of him. Now Joseph, as we heard in the passage, was a righteous man. And when he heard that Mary had a baby, he wanted to divorce Mary quietly. I wonder, is our faith a Pharisaical one that wants to be seen and strict? Is it a joyless God we serve, or one that brings life in its fullness? I don't know if you heard of Philip Yancey, an American Christian author, has written many books, including What's So Amazing About Grace? One I would recommend. After a car accident, he decided to write his memoir, Where the Light Fell, published in 2021. In it, he revealed his mother, though emotionally unstable, was a pillar of the church, teaching the Sunday school, but she used to beat her two sons. He recalls he wants to tell people in church what she was like at home, but felt they wouldn't believe him. So, in spite of growing up in a church and a home that he felt that showed God that was harsh, judgmental, angry and unforgiving, in fact, he came to know Christ for himself in an unexpected way at Bible College. In the Gospel, we find that people are surprised at Jesus because of the people he helps or goes with. He is gracious to the sinner. The disciples and the Pharisees both would say, "Who sinned? What did this bloke do wrong?" And Jesus would ignore that and perform healing. That is grace. A quote from Philip Yancey: often the religious people are the ones who close their hands tight in a fist because they're not looking at God, they're looking at the people around them. I'm better than they are. I'm not perfect, but I rank higher than they do. And as soon as you do that, you miss grace. In our religious life, are we righteous because we come to church and think we are better than others, or righteous because we are accepting of God's grace to us? Now, for Joseph, God spoke to him via an angel in a dream. For Joseph, it occurred many times, being told to go to Egypt because of King Herod, and again to return home when Herod died. For Joseph, in a dream, was the way God got through to him. How do we hear from God? And do we expect him to speak to us? Hopefully we do expect God to speak to us. There are many ways when reading the Bible. We may come across a verse that stands out. Or when Paul the vicar, we hope, as he would hope, we hear God's word as he preaches. As we pray, we may get an impression of what he wants, or even the still small voice we may hear. A fellow Christian may bring a verse to us, or as we meet together, there may be a picture, a word from someone else that speaks to us. Are we wanting to hear God's word for us? Joseph had a big influence on Jesus' life, as we have heard. Are we the same in our Christian life? Are we influencing others towards Jesus Christ, or off-putting because of our severity of self-righteousness? Are we righteous not through our own good works, but through God's grace? And do we expect to hear from God? There are so many ways for him to speak to us. Amen.